राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपद परमहंस परमृगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमद श्री अभय चरणारंद भक्ति विरांत साई महाराज श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय, नाम आचार्य श्रील ठाकुर हरिदास की जय, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोवर्धन की जय, वृंदावन धाम की जय, नवदीप मायापुर धाम की जय, गंगा देवी की जय, यमुना मई की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी रानी की जय, समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय, इस्कान बीबीति संस्थापक आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, गौ प्रेमानंदे ऑल ग्लोरीज टू योर सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू योर सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू योर सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरांग, जय श्रील प्रभुपाद। हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी, कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमज्ञानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टदृशामेश पुराणार्को धुनोदितः. This is Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 15, Text Number 27. Please repeat. Tasmin Atitya Munayaha Shad Asad Jamana Kakshaha Samana Vayasau Atha Saptamayam Devau Achakshata Grihita Gadau Para Arthya Keyura Kundala Kirita Vitanka Veshau. Tasmin atitya munayah sadasad jamanah kaksha samana vayasavatha saptamayam devava chakshata grihita gadau pararthya Keyura kundala kirita vitanka vesha Tasmin atitya munayah shada sajjamanah Kaksha samana vayasavatha saptamayam Devava chakshata grihita gadau parārthya Keyura kundala kirita vitanka veshau Tasmina titya dhunyas sajjamana Kaksha samana vayasavatha saptamayam Devava chakshata grihita gadau pararthya Keyura kundala kirita vitanka veshau Tasmin atitya munayah shadasat jamanah Kaksha samana vayasauvata saptamayam Devau chakshata grihita gadau parārthya Keyura kundala kirita vitanka veshau. Ladies. Tasmin atitya munaya shada sajjamana. Kaksha samana saya sauvatha saptamayam. Devava chakshata grihita gadau parārthya Keyura kundala kirita vitanka veshau Tasmin atitya sadashat jamana Kaksha samana vayasavatha saptamayam devavachakshat grihita gadauparathya keyura kundala kirita vetanka vesha tasmin atitya munayah sarasajjamana Shasamana vayasau atha saptamayam Devava chakshata grihita gadauparathya Yura kundala kirita vitanka vejau Tasmin in that Vaikuntha Atitya, after passing through Muniyaha, the great sages, Shat, six, Asajjamanaha, without being much attracted, Kakshaha, walls, Samana, equal, Vayasao, age, atha, thereafter, saptamayam, at the seventh gate, devau, two Vaikuntha doormen, achakshata, saw, grihita, carrying, gadau, maces, para arthya, most valuable, keyura, bracelets, kundala, earrings, kirita, helmets, vitanka, beautiful, veshao, garments. Translation, after passing through the six entrances of Vaikunthapuri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at all the decorations, they saw the seventh gate. They saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. Kindly repeat. After passing through the six entrances of Vaikunthapuri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at all the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces, and adorned with most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sages were so eager to see the Lord within Vaikunthapuri that they did not care to see the transcendental decorations of the six gates, which they passed by one after another. But at the seventh door, they found two doormen of the same age. The significance of the doormen's being of the same age is that in the Vaikuntha planets, there is no old age. So one cannot distinguish who is older than whom. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha are decorated like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, with Shankha, Chakra, Gada, and Padma, conch, wheel, club, and lotus. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Jnanan Jinashalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guroho Shri Yataparakamalam. Shri Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam. Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye. Vancha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhupya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavranda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Madgavirapi Gopala Svikuryat Kripayayadi Tadaivasam Payahapitwa Hrishya Yustat Priyajanaha. Tasmin atitya munayha shadasat jamanaha kakshaha samana vayasavata saptamayam devao achakshata grihita gadau pararchake yura kundala kiriti vitankaveshao. After passing through the six entrances of Vaikuntha Puri, the Lord's residence, without feeling astonishment at all the decorations, they saw at the seventh gate two shining beings of the same age, armed with maces and adorned with the most valuable jewelry, earrings, diamonds, helmets, garments, etc. So, we heard yesterday about the four Kumaras' arrival in Vaikuntha, and we heard that they had attained that place to begin with by dint of their mystic potency. Here Sridhar Swami has commented that it should be understood that they attained this by the grace of Yoga Maya, the internal potency of the Lord, Chit Shakti. So here the six walls refer to the walls and doorways of Vaikuntha, Kakshaha. And the phrase, without being very much attracted, means that they were extremely eager to see the Lord, each one attached to his wondrous darshana. It's one thing to see very beautiful jewels, that's one kind of sight, but to see the Lord is even better than that, because the Lord is the person who actually gives the potency to those jewels. Whatever attraction the jewels have, bhushanam bhushanangam. The Lord is actually the jewel of all jewelry. So they were more attached to seeing the Lord. They looked down on the two godly doormen, because these doormen were looking irritated. And I suppose they could assess that these doormen were going to check them somehow. So both the doormen were the same age, both held clubs, both wore extremely valuable bracelets and so on, and beautiful raiment. This is Sridhar Swami's comments here. Now, an alternative way to understand this is that, given by Sridhar Swami's own commentator, Vamshidhara, he writes that from birth they were absorbed in Brahmananda, the bliss of impersonal liberation. This was their previous state. They were not Mayavadis, mind you. They were Brahmanandis. There's a big difference there to be made, because the Mayavadis are offenders. Brahmanandis are not necessarily offensive, but they're certainly settling for less than they could. So they were absorbed in this Brahmananda from birth, and on account of that, wherever they went in Vaikuntha and whatever walls and doorways and gates and, you know, other things that they saw, scents that they smelled, and beautiful everything, nicely furnished in this way. They were not attracted on the platform of sense gratification to any of these things. Here the words Devau, the two gods, means Jaya and Vijaya. Prabhupada translates this word Devau as two shining beings, because that is that's actually the literal definition of Deva. Those who shine in the sky are called Devas. Okay, so what else? Yeah. Kramasandarbha, Jiva Goswami says, Yoga Maya Balena Bhagavat Chakti Prabhavinaiva Natu Swashaktya. He's again confirming the same thing, that when it said that yesterday we heard that they had attained Vaikuntha by dint of their mystic yoga power, it's understood. This is by the power of Yoga Maya, the person who arranges all these pastimes. It was not from their own Shakti, it was from Bhagavad Shakti. And the influence of that Bhagavad Shakti, known as Yoga Maya, that's the only reason that they attained this Vaikuntha. Otherwise, nobody can attain without pure devotional service. He says, Manishita anubhava oyam mama lokava lokanamiti shri bhagavatoktatvat tasmin iti yukmakam. Well, that's the next verse. But the Kumaras attained Vaikuntha by the power of the Lord Shakti, not by their own Shakti, the Lord says in Srimad Bhagavatam, Second Canto, Chapter 9, Text Number 11. Manishanu pavoyam mama lokavalokanam yadupashruta rahasi chakartha paramam tapah. There the Lord says, seeing my planet reveals all knowledge. Also by my mercy you previously heard my instructions when you were all alone and performed the greatest austerity. We'll return to that in a moment, but this is a quote given by Jiva Goswami. Now on today's verse, this is all from yesterday's verse, mind you, and on today's verse he simply points out that two verses are to be taken together, this one and the next one, tomorrow's verse, that's text 28. Sometimes it does like this. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has a long commentary. I'll skip the Sanskrit. But he says, from text 26 through 28, because as we just heard from Jiva Goswami, these are all related, this describes the Kumara's trip to Vaikuntha. They attain that place not by their own powers, but upon receiving the power of the Lord's Shakti by the desire of the Lord, that is to say, by his Yoga Maya, so that they could experience the highest bliss by the Lord's special mercy. You'll notice here, by hearing all of these acharyas, that they're all saying the same thing, more or less. In different words, they're all saying the same thing. That's usually what happens. Very rarely does an acharya differ from his predecessor, only if something really needs to be added. One of my favorite examples of this from Srila Prabhupada is Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text number 10. Anyone know that verse offhand? Nice. So there, Srila Prabhupada's purport is completely original, because only he could have written that purport, and only for us could that purport have been written also. It is distinctly unique, in the sense that he's not gaining that purport from any of his predecessors. It's his own contribution to the Sampradaya Siddhanta. And it really describes what the situation was and remains in the 20th and the 21st century. We're all attached. We're all afraid. We're all frustrated. These are our problems. But when we can become purified by these things somehow or other, and by all the dualistic illusions that these things characterize, then we can actually sustain a mature commitment to pure devotional service. That's the whole point. All right, so here the words aparam and apurvam in today's verse indicate that they experienced greater bliss in Vaikuntha than in realizing impersonal Brahman. I think this is actually in regard to text 26, as a matter of fact, because since we didn't read it yesterday, I'm reading it today. But what is the nature of Vaikuntha? Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur raises this question. It's under the control of the Lord. That's why in yesterday's verse he was called Vishwaguru. All the universes, he's the leader or the teacher or the guru of all of them, the elder, Vishwaguru. This means that material maya cannot exist there. The place glowed with the colorful airplanes possessed by the best of devotees. Do you remember what we heard about those airplanes? There was one adjective describing them. Anybody know the word? Shochihi means the same thing, glowing. Airplanes were glowing for the same reason that the people there were glowing. These two devas are described as shining beings because everything there in Vaikuntha is effulgent. Maybe that's why when I first saw Srila Prabhupada in New Dwarka, he lit up the whole temple room as soon as he walked in. Maybe that's why. But anyway, the place glowed with colorful airplanes possessed by the best of devotees. The phrase Guru of the Universe also indicates that he brought them to Vaikuntha to teach them. What was he going to teach them? What would the Lord teach? He's not going to teach impersonalism. That's their background, right? Yes, he's going to teach them bhakti. This is what he says. Yes. Iti natra tanmaya shakter adhikar iti arthaha. Kripaya svya bhaktim upadeshtum eva munin apya aninaya iti vishwaguru pada vyangam vastu. So this is the indication here. Then he says, regarding text 27, today's verse, in Vaikuntha tasmin, passing through the six walls and their gates, the sages without attachment, since they had realized Brahman from birth, this is Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur confirming the what we've already heard from Vamshidhara. Actually, Vamshidhara was later than Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And that's why Vamshidhara, as Sridhar Swami's sub-commentator, normally just paraphrases Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. That suggests that he was a Gaudiya Vaishnava. It's said that he was a Gaudiya Vaishnava living in Kurukshetra. As a matter of fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that for anyone who's really serious about Vipralambha Bhakti, the only place to even consider residing is Kurukshetra. Interesting, isn't it? We don't normally think like that. We associate Kurukshetra with battlefields and soldiers and elephants and particularly Bhagavad Gita, but in his view, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he views the entire significance of Kurukshetra as being that place which the gopis came from Vraj to see Krishna again. This is the sweetness of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Okay, so they had realized Brahman from birth, so they passed through these walls without feeling any particular attraction to any of the opulence that they saw there, and they saw these two doormen. They did not have any attraction by material intelligence to the gates, walls, or any aspects of form, fragrance, or beauty that they experienced there. At the seventh wall, they saw two guards, Jaya and Vijaya, holding clubs. Their faces were slightly disturbed with anger. That's described in text 28. Managra bhasam. the symptoms are described. Their nostrils were breathing heavily. Sputa nirgamabhyam. This is all tomorrow's verse. I won't go too much into that. Okay, so I said we would return to this quote that we were given by Srila Jiva Goswami, I believe it was him, from Second Canto, text, chapter 9, text 9 through 11, actually. Very beautiful description also of Vaikuntha. Tasmai swalokam bhagavan sabhajitaha sandarshayam asa param na yat param vyapeta sanklesha vimoha sadhyasam svadrishtavadbhir purushair abhishtutam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being thus very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, to the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, freed from all kinds of miseries and fear of illusory existence. That's the translation of that verse. Quoted by Jiva Goswami. And that describes, of course, not the Kumara's entrance into Vaikuntha, but Lord Brahma's entrance into Vaikuntha. Now in his purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, it's very interesting to see that Prabhupada is giving very long purports to all these verses that are quoted here. He says, the troubles of penance accepted by Lord Brahma were certainly in line of devotional service, bhakti. Otherwise, there was no chance that Vaikuntha or Swalokam, the Lord's personal abodes, would become visible to Brahmaji. Because sometimes people do penance for the wrong reason. They do austerities to make money or to get to America from some other country or to become the ruler of the universe, as was the case with Hiranyakashipu. So Brahmaji's penances were all actually part of devotional service, a little bit like the penances of Vasudeva and Devaki. They also did penance, and the Lord appeared to them as their son and gave them the benediction that in three births, I will be your son. What were those three births? Sutapa and Prishni. Their son was Prishni Garbha. Then again, they came as Kashyapa and Aditi, and their son became Vamanadeva, very favorite incarnation of the Lord. And then finally they took birth as Vasudeva and Devaki, and there the Lord appeared as Sri Krishna, Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this was Brahma's penance, and it brought him to Vaikuntha. The personal abodes of the Lord, known as Vaikunthas, are neither mythical nor material, as conceived by the impersonalists. But realization of the transcendental abodes of the Lord is possible only through devotional service, and thus the devotees enter into such abodes. There is undoubtedly trouble in executing penance, but the trouble accepted in executing bhakti yoga is transcendental happiness from the very beginning, whereas the trouble of penance in other processes of self-realization, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, etc., without any Vaikuntha realization, ends in trouble only, and nothing more. So about the troubles, I mean, you've all experienced, I'm sure, that executing devotional service involves trouble on occasion. Srila Prabhupada even explained in one lecture that the very best of all austerities... Somebody asked him, what is the best austerity to perform? And Prabhupada said, the best of all tapas, or penance, is to be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, to offer all respect to others, and to never expect any honor in return, or recognition in return. So this is tapas as far as devotional service is concerned, and every effort to preach Krishna consciousness involves this tapas. Necessarily, because we're in an antithetical world. This is the place where all the misfits have been thrown for the process to undergo the process of attitude adjustment. And so they're going to fight. and kick and scream and complain and whine and adi, adi, adi. So it's difficult to preach Krishna consciousness. There's no profit in beating husks without grains. Similarly, there's no profit in executing troublesome penances other than bhakti yoga for self-realization. Executing bhakti yoga is exactly like sitting on the lotus sprouted out of the abdomen of the transcendental personality of Godhead. Did you hear this? What did Prabhupada just say? Executing bhakti yoga is exactly like sitting on the lotus sprouted out of the abdomen of the transcendental personality of Godhead. For Lord Brahma was seated there. Brahmaji was able to please the Lord, and the Lord was also pleased to show Brahmaji his personal abode. Srila Jiva Goswami, in the comments of his Krama Sandarbha annotation of Srimad Bhagavatam, cites quotations from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Vedic evidence. It is said that Yajnavalkya has described the transcendental abode of the Lord to Gargi. Who is Gargi? Yeah, I mean, she was at least his student. I know that much. Maybe she was even his wife. But the name Gargi certainly suggests that she was related to Gargadishi instead. So he described to Gargi that the abode of the Lord is situated above the highest planet of the universe, namely Brahmaloka. The abode of the Lord, although described in the revealed scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, remains only a myth for the less intelligent class of men with a poor fund of knowledge. Poor fund of knowledge. What does that mean, poor fund of knowledge? You don't have enough money in your bank account. And similarly, it's not stupidity. It's not innate foolishness. It's just ignorance. So we have to give people the benefit of the doubt, even though Srila Prabhupada so often says that they're all fools and rascals, and that's certainly true in my case. But people have the potential to become pure devotees. They have the potential to become acharyas. They have the potential to become the future of our sampradaya. And we have the responsibility or the onus, however you want to see it, of training those people. Like it or not, there's nobody left here except us. At least I'm speaking on behalf of the first generation of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. And therefore we have this great duty to perform. Show compassion and accommodate people however is necessary in order to encourage them in their own effort at Krishna consciousness, because it's always a personal effort. It's a choice. That's one major difference between Islam and Krishna consciousness. In Islam, the choice is not required. You can be forced into it, and generally that's what has happened throughout history. We know the history. So anyway, it's through bhakti that we come to Vaikuntha, and the nature of Vaikuntha remains only a myth to less intelligent people, those who have not heard yet, those who have not been convinced that janma karma cha me divyam evam yo vetti tattvatah dyadi, that the Lord is transcendental, and anybody who understands his transcendental nature will not take birth again but will come to Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada says here also that the word swadrishtavadbhi is very significant. One who has actually realized his self realizes the transcendental form of one's self. Impersonal realization of the self and the supreme is not complete because it is just an opposite conception of material personalities. It's the negation of something material, but the negation of something material does not necessarily illuminate the nature of something non-material. The personality of Godhead and the personalities of the devotees of the Lord are all transcendental. They do not have material bodies. The material body is overcast with five kinds of miserable conditions, namely Ignorance, material conception. I take that as false ego. Attachment, hatred, and absorption. These are five kinds of miserable conditions that we undergo in this world. Are we attached? Do we hate some people? Do we have a material conception of life? Are we absorbed in Maya? Are we ignorant of certain things? Yes, this is our position. So as long as one is overwhelmed by those five kinds of material miseries, there is no question of entering into the Vaikuntha lokas. For such persons, Vaikuntha remains mythological. So it's Yaswanubhavam Akhila Shruti Saram Ekam. We're told in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam that it's all about only personal experience. When we have personally experienced what we're reading about today and every other day, then we enter Vaikuntha. Unless and until then, it's going to remain more or less theoretical, at least, if not mythological. And as Prabhupada has already stated, the Mayavadis, they don't even regard it as mythological. They regard it as material. So that's different. They say, ultimately, this is the difference between impersonalism and Mayavad. Only the Mayavadis say that the Lord's form, the Lord's associates, his activities, his paraphernalia, his abode, all of these things are of sattva-guna, material sattva-guna, and that is not the case. Because even that sattva-guna is actually, from the transcendental perspective, ignorant. Okay. The personal forms of the transcendental abode will be explained in the following verses. Brahmaji has described the highest planet of Vaikuntha Loka as Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord resides as a cowherd boy keeping transcendental Surabhi cows and surrounded by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Chintamani Prakara Sadma. What kind of Sadma? Sadma means house. Kis Prakar Ka Sadma. What kind of house is this in Vrindavan? Chintamani Prakara. They're made out of Chintamani stone. Because the dust is all Chintamani. Therefore, the houses made out of bricks shaped out of that dust, they're also Chintamani. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. And Kalpa Vriksha. What kind of trees are growing outside of those houses? Lakhs and lakhs and lakhs of Kalpa Vrikshas, desire trees. They'll fulfill all of your desires. And that's not all. Surabhi Abhipalayantam, the Lord is tending so many. Well, what kind of cows? Surabhi cows. You seen the picture of Surabhi? It would seem she's some kind of a... Anyway, she's Surabhi. Surabhi cow. In Vrindavan, all these cows fulfill all of your desires. All the trees fulfill all of your desires. All the dust fulfills all of your desires. Therefore, be careful what you desire if and when you live in Vrindavan. Okay, so, and this is, of course, the Lord is served by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis, goddesses of fortune. These are the gopi expansions described in Brahma Samhita. And what are they doing? How are they serving him? Sambrahma sevyamanam. What does sambrahma mean? Anybody know? It means confused, completely confused. They're so busy, they're running around in complete mayhem, as it were. They're so busy in devotional service. Sometimes devotees, ISKCON devotees, get like that also. Sambrahma sevyamana, astvyast, we say in Hindi. So this is the nature of that spiritual world. And yad gatva anivartante tadhama paramamama, Krishna says in Chapter 15.6, in which he also says that abode is not illumined by the sun and the moon, just like the airplanes, just like the Dwarpalas, they're all effulgent. The whole place is effulgent like that. So this is all confirmed here. Prabhupada writes this. Param means transcendental Brahman. Therefore, the abode of the Lord is also Brahman, non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is known as Vaikuntha. And his abode is also known as Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha Madhava Janardana Chakrapani. So this is how he's glorified. Such Vaikuntha realization and worship can be made possible by transcendental form and sense. You have your transcendental form and senses. Okay. Then it goes on. Pravartate yatra rajas tamas tayoho satvam cha mishram na cha kala vikramaha na yatra maya kimutapare harer anuvrata yatra sura surarchitaha. That means, in that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail. That's why Shankaracharya can claim, in his own, according to his own logic at least, that it is made of sattva guna. Because if rajas and tamas are not prevailing, then it must be sattva guna. But it's much more than sattva guna. Nor is there any of their influence in goodness. That is what proves that this is Shuddha Sattva, Vasudeva Sattva. There is no predominance of the influence of time. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Without discrimination, both the demigods and the demons worship the Lord as devotees. So Prabhupada writes about this. The kingdom of God, or the atmosphere of the Vaikuntha nature, which is called the Tripad Vibhuti, is three times bigger than the material universes. And it is, in the Vaikuntha Loka, it is unalloyed goodness only. The whole situation there is one of freedom from the illusory manifestation of the external energy. Although illusory energy is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, illusory energy is differentiated from the Lord. The illusory energy is not, however, false, as claimed by the monist philosophers. The rope accepted as a snake may be an allusion to a particular person, but the rope is a fact, and the snake is also a fact. The illusion of water on the hot desert may be an illusion for the ignorant animal searching for water in the desert, but the desert and water are actual facts. Therefore, the material creation of the Lord may be an allusion to the non-devotee, but to a devotee, even the material creation of the Lord is a fact. It is as the manifestation of his external energy. But this energy of the Lord is not all. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita. Okay. The Lord has his internal energy also, which has another creation known to be the Vaikuntha Lokas, where there is no ignorance, no passion, no illusion, and no past and present. With a poor fund of knowledge, again, this is just mere ignorance, one may be unable to understand the existence of such things as the Vaikuntha atmosphere, but that does not nullify its existence. That spacecraft cannot reach these planets does not mean that there are no such planets, for they are described in the revealed scriptures. Yeah, this is confirming, again, as we heard the other day, the real way to learn something is through Shastra. And even for things that we cannot perceive or imagine, we simply have to accept what the Shastra says. That is the process. So that the spacecraft cannot reach Vaikuntha does not mean there is no Vaikuntha. Rather, it means that our spacecraft are still very gross. Even according to UFOlogists, the so-called aliens have much superior technology than we do on this planet, if you believe such things. So as quoted by Jiva Goswami, we can know from the Narad Pancharatra that the transcendental word or Vaikuntha atmosphere is enriched with transcendental qualities as revealed through the devotional service of the Lord, which are distinct from the mundane qualities of ignorance, passion, and goodness. Such qualities are not attainable by the non-devotee class. So these are long purports, and we don't have time because it's almost time to wrap up now. But the conclusion may be drawn, Prabhupada writes, that because of the complete absence of the mundane qualities of ignorance and passion, there is no question of creation or annihilation in Vaikuntha. In the material world, everything is created and everything is annihilated, and the duration of life between the creation and annihilation is temporary, which is to say you have many lives. People don't question, why do I have to keep dying? They don't even believe they're so covered that they've lived before. That's like a mirror. Well, it's more than a mirror covered by dust. It's also more than fire covered by smoke. It's actually like a embryo covered by a womb. That's atheism. Or people, gross materialists who can't even conceive of the existence of spirituality or spiritual personality. Okay, so this is... Everything there is eternal, unlimitedly. In other words, everything in the transcendental world is everlasting, full of knowledge and bliss without deterioration. Since there is no deterioration, there is no past, present, and future in the estimation of mundane time. It is clearly stated in this verse that the influence of time is conspicuous by its absence. We've heard this so many times, haven't we? So... the whole material existence is manifested by actions and reactions of elements which make the influence of time prominent in the matter of past, present, and future. There are no such actions and reactions of cause and effects there. So the cycle of birth, growth, existence, transformations, deterioration, and annihilation, these six material changes, are not existent there. It is the unalloyed manifestation of the energy of the Lord without illusion as experienced here in the material world. Does that mean that the kirtan doesn't begin and end? We just experienced this. The kirtan began, and Nagaraj Prabhu was singing so nicely, and we didn't want it to end, but it came to an end. So how is it that there's no time in the spiritual world? Does that mean that there's kirtan ever going on forever? Well, it does. But at the same time appears to be there, but that time is only for the sake of pastimes. This is how it is. Prabhupada says it's like a horse walking outside of a building that has a line of windows upon one wall. And you see the horse first in the first window, then you see him in the second window, then the third window, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, etc. Doesn't mean that the horse is coming into existence independently in each and every window separately. The horse is always there. But to our vision, he's appearing and disappearing. This is why we say that in the spiritual world, there's no birth. There's prakata, aprakata. These things are there. So... the whole Vaikuntha existence proclaims that everyone there is a follower of the Lord. Sthitir Vaikuntha Vijayaha Poshanam Taranugraha. The transcendental experience of Vaikuntha, this is the glory of the Lord. What is it stated in Brahma Samhita? Lilayatena Bhuvanani Jayati. He is ever victorious by dint of his lilas in the spiritual world. Everything there, everyone is a follower of the Lord. The Lord is the chief leader there without any competition for leadership, and the people there are all followers. How many times do you see a billboard advertising a school? Since they're building schools every 10 feet now in India, you see these advertisements there, you know, showing a very confident-looking young student, expressing the attitude that is coveted in the modern day and age, that... you can train your child to be a leader. Nobody ever advertises anything such as a school in which they encourage that you, if you really want to change, if you really want to train your child to be a follower, then send him to our school. That won't really work, will it? That's antithetical to the very spirit of this world, which is rebellious competition with the Lord. But in our school, we should advertise like this. If you want your child to be a perfect follower of Srila Prabhupada, then come to our school. All right, so everyone there is a follower of the Lord. It's confirmed in the Vedas, therefore, that the Lord is the chief. And that's what the meaning of the word Janardhan is, this only, Janardhan. This is another name of the son of Vasudeva and Devaki also, Janardhan. He's a famous deity in South India, which some of you know. Now, I'm going to just finish here. 2.9.11, which is actually what Jiva Goswami quoted. I'm just going to recite this for you. Shyama vadata shatapatra lochanaha pishanga vastraha suracha supeshasaha sarve chatur bahava unimishanmani praveka nishkabharana suvarshasaha. This is the description. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha planets are described as having glowing sky, bluish complexion. Their eyes resemble lotus flowers. Their dress is of yellowish color, and their bodily features are very attractive. They are just at the age of growing youths. They all have four hands. They are all nicely decorated with pearl necklaces and ornamental medallions, and they all appear to be effulgent. It's a short purport. I just can't resist. If you please excuse me, I'm going to read this. The inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka are all personalities with spiritual bodily features not to be found in the material world until one of them comes here, as I've mentioned already. We can find the descriptions in the revealed scriptures like Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're reading now. Impersonal descriptions of transcendence in the scriptures indicate that the bodily features in the Vaikuntha Loka are never to be seen in any part of this universe. As there are different bodily features in different places of a particular planet, or as there are different bodily features between bodies in different planets. Similarly, the bodily features of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha Loka are completely different from those in the material universe. For example, the four hands are distinct from the two hands in this world. So this is a great Bhaktivedanta purport. Again, all describing the spiritual world, which we are just now entering in the company of the four Kumaras through the wonderful descriptions given in this glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, which we have received only by the divine grace of Lord Krishna in the form of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm going to end here. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anyone have any questions or any comments on any of this? Yes, please.
Thank you, Prabhu. I think you cited the verse in the Bhagavad Gita 4:10.
I always do.
For what?
Yes, 4:10. Oh,
4:10. And you commented that the purport, Srila Prabhupada made it, it's exceptionally...
It's pretty much original, yeah.
That doesn't occur anywhere else in his writings?
Sometimes, yeah. But generally, he's paraphrasing his predecessors, which is what we all should be doing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, how then do you know...
Prabhupada describes the principle in one of his Chaitanya Charitamrita purports that one should not try to surpass the predecessor acharyas. And, you know, there may be a need to actually say something in the 20th century. Given the time, place, and context in which Srila Prabhupada was writing, sometimes he had to say something that was necessarily different from what the predecessors had said, because it was, you know, an audience will be different. Every time you give a class, it's a different audience. You have to speak to the audience. So that's why we sometimes say something that is unique. I should not say different as much as I should say original. And that seems to have been Prabhupada's operating principle.
Okay. Also, the Brahmanandis, what is their object of worship?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. They don't really worship, do they? Because there's only one thing, and that's me.
Then why did the Kumaras aspire to get darshan of the Lord? Is that even within their you know, vision of
they're going goals. Everywhere. The liberated souls, they're going all over the place. I mean, we know that they became devotees by dint of the smelling the tulsi leaves from the Lord's lotus feet. Anyone else? Somebody else has a comment.
Hey, Bol Prabhu, thank you very much for such a wonderful class. So the Kumaras, they were the firstborn of Lord Brahma, and it's stated that they were taught Brahman, or about Brahman. So it means that Lord Brahma taught them about Brahman, or and why would he teach them that, really? Since he's explaining the devotional
well,
services.
We all have to learn about Brahman. don't think that you can get devotional service without Brahman realization. That's clear in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, text 54. The adhara, or the substrate of devotional service, is necessarily Brahman realization. You have to have that. But to stop at Brahman realization, that's another matter. That means that you're exercising some volition which is actually against the devotional service of the Lord. That's why we criticize even. We can say that. We criticize the impersonalists. But I made the distinction early on between the impersonalists and the monists. There's a very, very crucial difference, because the monists of the Shankara school, at least, they are actually very offensive. I could name names here that we've been dealing with in India about this, but I'm not going to do that. But they're very offensive. But to be an impersonalist is not necessarily offensive. It's certainly less, I want to say, less intelligent. Because they don't enjoy the bliss of the Lord's lotus feet. They have no conception of the devotional service, of the glory of Vaikuntha, and the love that is really what satisfies the soul. They don't seem to recognize that. That's a severe limitation. I don't know if I'm answering your question.
To some degree. Can you take another one?
If you're not satisfied, then please elaborate. Because the question should be satisfied.
but I'm going to ask another question. And this is a science one, right? The scientist says that if you were to count every grain of sand on all the beaches on Earth, still they would not amount to the amount of galaxies within this universe. So does that mean
they've counted
that
them all,
everything, right? Everything that's been perceived is within the universe that we're living in? In other words, 2 trillion galaxies is within the universe that we're living in?
I don't see how that conclusion comes. But I'm also not sure that they have even counted all the atoms and specks of dust in the universe that they can even make that comparison. Right? I mean, you can get this kind of knowledge from Shastra, but you cannot get this kind of knowledge from your own speculation. So what is the basis of their authority to make such a grand claim? It's sensible, it's logical, it's reasonable entirely. But, you know, really the only way to know that you can, you know, the number of galaxies vis-a-vis the number of grains of sand in this world, you have to make the experiment. How can they do that? Therefore, we stick with what the Shastra says. That's the superior process, because it's infallible. Apaurusheya, and it's called swata pramanya in philosophical terms. It's self-proven. It is self-effulgent authority. So there's no sense in arguing with speculations like that. Better, I feel, at least, better to bring a person to recognize the necessity for hearing from transcendental authority who is beyond all the limitations imposed on us by the Lord's material nature. Achintya khalu ye bhavanatan sthartakena yojayet. You cannot apply your mundane logic to things that are far beyond it. And you see, people like George Wald, any scientists here? You know, Nobel laureate, nuclear physicist. But in his old age, he decided that he had to chant Hare Krishna. He used to come to our restaurant in Austin, Texas. And generally when they reach the zenith of science, which is generally physics, then they hit a brick wall, which is the procrustean bed of their own process. And they have to recognize that, you know, I'm imposing limitations on my knowledge by the methodology that I've sworn myself to. This is the problem with the empiricists, scientists in general. Is that okay?
Yeah.
What else? No other questions then? Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the nice class. So we hear that there are seven gates to the Vaikuntha, like the Kumaras were not attracted to the six, the opulences displayed in the six gates. What is the significance of those six gates? Like, does any acharyas quote on that?
Yeah, I'm sure there must be something, if not among the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Sri Vaishnavas would be discussing this. I can't remember anything offhand about it. Yeah.
And another one, maybe it's a silly question, but we always see in this Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Puranas, when they describe about Vaikuntha, they always say that the Vaikuntha Vasis are wearing the yellow garments, only yellow garments. Whereas when we see that the spiritual world is, the material world is nothing but the replica of the spiritual world, so whatever you see here, which is very colorful, is actually the original presence is in the spiritual world. But then when we describe about the garments, they only specify yellow. Are there not any other colors? Like, it might be silly, but I...
Well, even in this temple, the Lord is wearing different colors.
Yeah, we are different colors. Yeah. Why is it only specific?
But he's known for yellow. This is to identify the Vaikuntavasis with Lord Vishnu, right? Because they to emphasize that they have the same form as Lord Vishnu. This is the form, this is the dress by which Lord Vishnu is known, correct?
I see.
And Krishna also. But it's not that he can only wear yellow garments. Even in the temple he's wearing so many garments. Yeah. Mother Yashoda also, she's described as wearing vichitra sichaya. She's dressed in very colorful cloth, sometimes bright yellow cloth, sometimes other colors. Radharani is blue cloth. That doesn't mean she's only wearing blue. But yeah. And that's an interesting point also because, yeah. Anyway, enough said. All right, so thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.